I wanted to share with you an experience. It's probably one of the most amazing experiences that I've ever experienced. So I wanted to share it with you. It begins with Jesus. Probably happened, three years ago. Jesus was invited out by an area pastor to have lunch in one of the local restaurants called Simon's Place. And so Jesus took up the offer, and when the time came, he went to Simon's Place and went into the restaurant, and the waitress escorted him down to the patio area where the pastor was at. The patio area is this really interesting place because the pastors of the town gathered there every week, and they would sit around and they would pontificate over some of the nuances of theological vagaries. And they liked it because it was a big enough area that the local people would come and they would actually listen to them talk. In fact, one time, one of the patrons yelled out, "Amen!" to which he got a stern look from one of the pious pastors because they did have a sense of decorum that they wanted to maintain. Well, Jesus, of course, came in and was sitting there, and the conversation was fairly light. They weren't talking about anything at this point of any depth, and so the pastor would ask him questions like, "Well, Jesus, how is your ministry going? I bet walking around all that time is hard. I bet your Fitbit is really just going crazy, you know." And of course, there were snickers that went through the room as people thought that was funny. Jesus, of course, he took it all in stride. You know, he understood these pastors, and he took it in stride, and he would answer their questions, and he wanted to assure them that his health was fine. And then he said, "And of course, I am an Apple Watch man myself." And the place just went in a roar and just kind of disrupted. The people at the bar were leaning over, just trying to hear again what was it that he had said. Well, outside this restaurant, Simon's Place, a large crowd had gathered. I mean, it was really big. They were just trying to get in so they could be in earshot to hear what Jesus had to say. I mean, you know, you think that at the Roadhouse, Texas Roadhouse, that the wait is really large on a Friday night. It was so large here that they just kind of threw out the wait time. It was just so long. All of a sudden, there was this question. "What's going on inside?" the woman asked. No one paid any attention. They ignored her. She pushed in a little bit further and to try to see, and she says, is there a live band or something?" "No. Get out of here," a man said. The snarl, the curled lips kind of said it all. It really didn't matter who it was because in this small town, they all treated her the same. But she ignored their glances and she made her way around the patio area at the outside, and she was able to peek in through the chain-linked fence to see who it is. And she looked in and she goes, "It's him! It's him!" And he looked at me. He looked at me. She was so excited that a gasp escaped her lips and she jumped back, knocking a pedestrian into the street. But she had heard this man before. This wasn't her first time. He had been preaching out on a street corner and she had been listening to him. And his eyes. Oh, his eyes. They were filled with such compassion. These same eyes that looked at her through the fence didn't judge her, didn't cast her away, didn't dismiss her because of her background. No, he spoke of compassion and kindness. He offered love and forgiveness. When he was preaching, he preached a message of this kingdom that was going to come, where God was going to forgive everybody's sin who believed in his gospel, in this man, Jesus. Well, the crowd continued to grow, and she got squeezed out into the street in which she disappeared. Back inside the patio area, the conversation had gone from the casual questions to a deep discussion of the Old Testament and its implications on Israel and its future in Palestine. When all of a sudden there was a hush that crept over the whole room, followed by whispers, until it followed to Jesus. And behind him stood a woman. "What's that sinner doing in here?" someone said. The guy next to him said, "Sinner, what are you talking about?" "Oh, that's her nickname, the sinner. You know, she doesn't have a husband, but she has men coming in and out of her house all the time. She's a sinner. I've heard that she's got at least 7 or 8 children. 7 or 8 children. How does a woman like that feed all those kids?" And his friend looked at him. He goes, "Oh, one of those women." Well, the woman didn't need to hear them to know what they were thinking. They all judged her and her past. She said, "You know, if they could just understand a little bit about where she had come from, they wouldn't be so hard. Her mom wasn't married, and the man living with her wasn't the woman's father. And he was a drunk. I mean, he was a mean drunk. When he got drunk, he would beat her mom. And then at night, he would creep into the woman's room." And she says, "I was only 13. She vowed. She vowed it wasn't going to be like that for her. So when she turned 18, she was out of that house. She was not going to live in an abusive situation. She was gone. But where was she to go? She had no family. She had no friends, partly by choice, partly because of shame. Who would take in this broken girl? This total misfit." "Hi," the man said. "You look like you could use a place to stay." She looked into his eyes. They seemed to be kind. And she was so cold. So she said, "Okay." And she went home with him. His kindness turned to manipulation, and his hospitality had strings attached to it. And now when she looked into his eyes, they were the same eyes as her mom's boyfriend. And whatever resolve she thought she had melted away into fear. Her life became this whirlwind of men and manipulation and sex. Each man held out some kind of hope, but every time she was disappointed and abused. And then she heard Jesus. This man who stood on the street corner preaching this word of forgiveness, and his eyes were not like the eyes that she had seen before. They were filled with compassion, and what he asked wasn't for anything from her, and he offered her something of forgiveness and freedom. She wanted to find out more about what he had to say, but life got in the way, and she lost track of him, and he was gone. Until this day at Simon's place, he was back. And all she could think of was, how can I show some bit of gratitude, some bit of thanksgiving to him for this loving kindness that he had showed? So she had in her hands a jar. And this jar was full of herbal essence. And she had collected these herbal essences and bought different kinds of fragrances. And she said that she had been told that it was good for using at burial time. So she had been keeping it. It was her most precious and most valuable possession. And so here she was holding it, standing behind Jesus, and she was just frozen. At some point in the conversation, Jesus had swung his feet and they were sticking out. And she saw them and she knelt down and she started to pour this oil over his feet, these rough, these calloused, these dirty feet. And so moved with emotion, she began to weep, and her tears mixed with the essence. And so she instinctively thought she needed to wipe them off, so she took her hair and she started to dry off Jesus' feet. The room was horrified. The pastor was thinking, if Jesus were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this was and how degrading she was in front of all these people. But Jesus did know what he was thinking. And he turned to him and said, Pastor, I have something to say to you. You know, when there was these two men, they were down at the Chase Bank, and the manager there gave them each a loan, one for $44,000 and one for $4,400. And it was a holiday season, so the branch manager thought, I'm going to be sympathetic to these men. And so he called up his boss, and he pulled some strings, and he was able to get these debts forgiven. Pastor, I got a question for you. Which one of these debtors loved the branch manager the most? And without a pause, the pastor said, well, of course, the man who owed $44,000. And Jesus says, exactly right. You're exactly right. You know, Pastor, when I came into Simon's place, you didn't greet me at the door. In fact, when the waitress brought me to the table, you didn't stand up and shake my hand. And you didn't ask the waitress to get me a glass of water or an appetizer. In fact, this whole time you have been cold to me and disrespectful. But this woman, since she has come in, has done nothing but give me respect and honor and has poured her most precious possession over my feet in preparation for my burial. And looking straight into the pastor's face, he says, he who has been forgiven much loves much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. And he reached down and he took the woman's hand and he lifted her up and said, woman, your sins are forgiven. You could have heard a pin drop. They forgot about the woman. They forgot about the oil. The only thing they could think about was this man said he could forgive sins. And only God can forgive sins. Jesus just shook his head. He looked back at the pastor and he said it again. He who has forgiven much loves much. And so he turned to the woman and he said, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And she did. She walked out. But she didn't go far because she, at that moment, knew that this man was the way towards salvation. And so she determined to follow him for the rest of her life. Who are the misfits among us? You know, the ones that polite society tolerates, but would never invite them to church, let alone have them in a small group, and far be it for us to ever invite them over to our house for dinner. You know who they are. They're the single mom who is struggling to just make ends meet and keep her kids together. Or the son who has tried and tried and tried, and yet no matter how hard he worked, his wife still left him. And he's branded with divorce. What are the scarlet letters that we put on people? Maybe it's A, he's an addict. Maybe it's B, she's bulimic. Maybe it's C, he's a criminal. Maybe it's D, he's been divorced. Maybe it's E, her behavior is erratic. Maybe it's F, he's in financial problems. Maybe it's H, he's a homosexual. Maybe it's G, he's godless. And the list could go on and on and on. But what if we treated these misfits the way Jesus treated the misfits of his day? Not with judgment, but with compassion. With mercy. With grace. You see, God has already judged the world. We are already judged. Jesus said that he came to seek and save the lost. And so he reached out with compassion. What if we were to do the same things? You see, Paul already said it. He said, we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. So where is our hope? It is in Christ. But you are welcome here. And you know something? We're all misfits. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all in need of a Savior. And none of us has a right to judge the other. But to offer compassion and mercy and grace in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're a misfit, you are welcome. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for this morning that we can come and worship you. That we can come and know that you will not turn us away. That the church is a place for misfits. Where we can help people to understand the goodness that comes from your hand. So I pray, that, Father, for us. First, to give you thanks for including us. And to thank you for giving us your Spirit, that we might go out and share your message with the misfits of this world. Help us not to be judgmental, but to be full of mercy. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.